That, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, on WGN, is the piano playing of my guest for this entire hour, Bob Mamet. He is a composer, he's a pianist, but charmingly, there is a picture of him many, many years ago when you were maybe, I don't know, Bob, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Rick.
Maybe 2 years old, and there's a picture of you as a little boy reaching up to try to reach the piano keys in your house.
Uh-huh, yeah. I think I remember that, yes.
Music was always in your house as a kid, was it not?
It was. It definitely was. My father played. You know, he was an attorney.
Yes, a great labor lawyer, yeah, and an unbelievably cool guy, Bernie Mamet. Oh, unbelievably great guy.
But he was also an amateur jazz pianist, but he was very serious about his jazz. In fact, he'd go to parties. You know, he would sit down at the piano, and everyone would think he was the
pianist. House entertainment.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So I learned from him, there was always music playing in the house.
And then, you know, you went to Francis Parker School, and
that's
you
right.
Started playing. You played. I mean, there you played everything from jazz to, you know, the rock and roll, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
When did you think, Bob Mamet, that music, it's a tough thing. I guess you have to be pulled into it. But when did you think music is going to be my life? I know you toyed with the idea of going to medical school, right?
Yeah.
When
I first
went to college.
I mean, yes. I was, as an undergrad, I went to Johns Hopkins. And it just so happened that they were affiliated with the famous Peabody Conservatory, you know, which was just a great, place, great music school, really. And so I took basically half or more of my classes there. I just ended up doing that. And I really, that's when I, you know, I had already, you know, been playing music for years as a kid, but that's when I really got serious.
There's such a difference. What was it that made you serious, Bob? I mean, there are a lot of people. I mean, little Fiona's playing the piano now, and I can't imagine her as a jazz pianist unless it's in the Bob Mamet Band years from now.
You never know.
But what is it when, what grabs you? It must be something really visceral where you just can't not do it.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And it's something, you know, when just every day, you know, you get up and you want to, you know, as a young person and you just know that's what you want to do. You know, it's in you, as they say, you live, breathe, eat and sleep music, you know, and at that age and, you know, that's what you want to do.
When I guess the environment at Peabody is such that you have all of these, you're surrounded by like-minded,
that's right,
passionate people. When you told your dad, Bernie, and your beautiful, lovely, worldly mom, Judy, that, well, Mom and Dad, I don't think I am going to go into medicine. I'm going to go into music. What was their reaction?
Well, you know, it's funny. They came out to visit me like halfway through the semester.
Yeah. How are your medical studies going, Bob?
And you know, I had been kind of sitting in at that point at like a lot of the clubs in Baltimore, which
yeah.
is, of course, where Johns Hopkins is. And so they came, you know, they came to visit me, and they heard me sitting in at one of these clubs. And my dad said, you know what, if you want to do this, you have my blessing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that, for a young person, is a huge step. And it's also, I have to imagine, a kind of empowering thing for you, too, that you have the ultimate okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That kind of support, it's very important.
You didn't, however, come back to Chicago. Not right away. Yeah, not right away, but you spent about 20 years.
30. I went right from there to L.A. for 30 years. Yeah.
Why L.A.?
Well, I mean, at the time, that's just, to me, that's where all the, you know, the great studio musicians like the like the musicians in some of my favorite bands, like Steely Dan the Doobie Brothers and bands like that. All the studio musicians were there. That's where I wanted to go.
Did you have, at the time, when you went to L.A. after getting out of this Peabody place, and this is something I've never asked you, and we've known each other a long time, was jazz on the top of your list, or were you sort of ready to explore all different genres?
Well, yeah, no, and I did. I mean, I basically became a studio musician, and I did. I composed music for films and TV, and then I was in a jazz fusion band, you know, which was you know,
like, different than what you do now. Yeah,
right. It was, you know, contemporary jazz, and then after that, I did some of the new agey type stuff, and so, you know, it kind of evolved, and then over the years, I pivoted to a more acoustic style of jazz that I do now.
Yeah, which is wonderful. I mean, it's really, I've watched you kind of the growth of Bob Mamet over the years. You have a few CDs out. We're playing some bump music from Impromptu,
right?
And we are going to play a number of numbers from London House Blues, which is a stunning album that took at least a couple of years.
It did.
I mean, that's one of the things. Give me in a minute before we take a break. What is the life of a studio musician in L.A. like? Is it? I get an image of like an unbelievably cool life, but I guess it's really probably a hassle.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you know, and it was different back then. You know, this was the 80s, you know, and you had shows like, you know, Magnum P.I. and Elf and shows like
Elf.
That and the Wonder Years. And so, you know, as a musician, you would just go in and you would do, it was kind of, you know, jazz, like, you know, kind of jazzy stuff that today would be kind of considered almost, you know, square or corny, but it was fun.
Well, it's got to be, it's fun and it gives you money and time on your own to explore other things.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we are leaving Bob Mamet now in L.A. We'll talk a little bit more about L.A., but then I think his return to Chicago is when he really, about 2011, when he really started to flower, because I think his return was it wasn't like, I have a sick parent or something. He came back because he felt this kind of draw.
Absolutely.
Chicago, and that's very important to your music now. That's more Bob Mamet. That's off his CD called Impromptu. His latest CD is London House Blues, and we'll talk about that in the second half hour of this show. We've just been talking to Bob about being a studio musician and finding his kind of musical path in Los Angeles, trying a variety of different genres, probably a variety of different groups you played with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the club scene in L.A. like? I have no idea. Yeah, and the conventional wisdom would say, oh, my God, it's got to be horrible, but it's probably not.
Well, it's funny. I mean, again, back then, and it still is, but back then, you know, we had places like clubs like the Troubadour, where I played.
Right.
And the Whiskey A Go-Go, and the Viper Room, you know, places like that.
Sure.
And it's still, a lot of those places are still there. In fact, I actually did a jazz show at the Whiskey A Go-Go a couple years ago.
How did that go over?
It was great. They really wanted to kind of expand their palette, you know. And
that's great for them. Good.
And it was surprising because I didn't know quite what to expect. And some of the fans that were coming in, you know, were a little taken aback because, you know, they were kind of frisked at the door and wanded with the thing. But, you know, that's par for the course in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's sadly the scene these days.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
But once everyone adjusted, it was a fun show. Yeah.
When you made in 2011, this was a big decision after almost, you know, 20, 30 years in L.A. to come back to Chicago, you really did. And you told me then that you really felt a pull.
Yes.
It wasn't just that your mom was here, because you've got, you know, Bob's stepbrother is David Mamet, the most famous, best living playwright, and sister, stepsister Lynn, who is also involved in writing and television. He's got a brother named Tony, who's a writer, producer, actor, everything.
Yes.
And Julie, your sister, does a variety of things.
Right, and they're all out there. They're all out in L.A.
And we used to have dinner with David every Sunday. David and his family.
The three brothers, Tony, David, and I would have a dinner every. And when I go back to L.A., we still do it every Sunday night. You know, it's like clockwork. The main reason I moved back to Chicago. I mean, part of it is I wanted to, you know, forge my own thing within the musical scene here in Chicago. But also, you know, I did feel like a pull to kind of come back home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the people, I mean, the people here, you know, it's funny because when you live here, people say to me, well, that's flattering, Bob, how you talk about how nice and how great and how, you know, the people are here. But no, they really are. People, well, let me put it this way.
Sure.
Bands like, I know Bono from U2 has said that the Chicago audiences are the best audiences in the world. When they record their shows, they do it here.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I mean, not just U2, but a lot, I've heard so many, you know, bands say that the Chicago, they're the most attentive and they're just the most gracious audiences, and that extends to the people and how they are here. And it's not just like a myth, oh, people from Chicago are nice. They are, but it's more than that.
Well, you must have known some of the players here, but it has always been, used to cover music as a sort of regular thing years ago, and I find the music scene here, no matter what scene, whether it's country, western, jazz, pop, or harp playing, that the people here in the music business are unbelievably nurturing, sensitive, and, you know, sort of collaborative. They're not out to, you know, screw each other.
Right.
You know, I think of a guy like Bobby Lewis, who just turned 80, who's going to be on in a few weeks talking about his wonderful career. He's stayed
great
here,
player.
And he's a great player.
Yes.
You must have felt, even though you didn't have a presence on this scene, you must have felt really welcome, didn't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I moved back, it's definitely a very welcoming scene here, and you know, from both musicians and the audiences, and just the people, you know, people in general. You go somewhere, they genuinely are interested in hearing new music,
and
seeing what you've got to.
Where did you first play when you came back?
I did a stint, a week long stint at the Jazz Showcase.
Yeah,
yeah, and in fact, I was on your show with Joe Siegel.
Oh,
you remember
my God,
that?
When
we
Joe
came,
was on. Oh,
we
yeah,
came, it was about
yeah.
5 years ago. We
Which
came
was
on your
really
show.
Really amazing, because Joe Siegel doesn't do a lot of radio.
He doesn't do hardly any, and he had a great time coming on and talking to me. It's hard to pry things out of him sometimes, but he really opened up. And you know, he just turned 90.
I know.
He's still going
huge
strong.
Celebration of Joe Siegel's thing, and
Absolutely.
That's a great room. You must have. You must have enjoyed that. I mean, you must have really felt, Bob Mamet, when you were in that room doing that week, that you had really come home.
No, it's great. And I go back. I play there like a couple times a year, and it's a great show. We'll do a little later this summer. We'll be playing there again. But yeah, no, it's one to me. It's one of the best, the best jazz venues in the country, in the world.
Yeah,
really.
There's no question about it. I mean, the new one down in Printer's Row, and Joe Siegel's had a lot of places over the years.
He has.
And they've moved around, and he has fought the good fight.
That's exactly right.
And to be down there. What about the players? You collaborated on London House Blues with arguably the greatest bass player and the greatest drummer in Chicago, Larry Gray and Paul Wertico, respectively.
Absolutely.
What is it? You've got to... When you hook up with performers with whom you want to perform, you have to kind of share with them a sort of similar musical aesthetic, do you not?
Absolutely. So, for instance, Paul Wertico, you know, just a great jazz drummer. He played for 18 years in the Pat Metheny group.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And I, you know, I had a little bit of an affinity with that, you know, that style of music. I had... My first few albums were a little bit in that style, you know, yeah. And I used some of the players from Steely Dan and also Weather Report and Tower of Power, you know, players
sure,
from these iconic groups. And, you know, Paul came from that tradition. So that, like when you say an affinity to the music, but Paul Wertico is so much more than that as a player. I mean, he's
no
just...
No question.
He was the co-producer of the London House Blues album, and you know, because I told him, I said, hey, you know, both with him and my brother Tony, I said, do you guys want to come and, you know, co-produce my next album? And they were like, sure, you know, because Paul really had just a really good handle on the history of the music here in Chicago,
yeah.
Which that, I know we're going to talk about that in
a second.
But that album really was a tribute to the musical, the jazz history of Chicago,
yeah.
You know, and Larry Gray, as you mentioned, just a phenomenal bass player.
Oh, they're
one
incredible.
Of the best around.
And this is, in the next half hour, you will hear at length a song. We may play all of London House Blues, which is a little over 4 minutes, but that's, so what? That's what we do on this show. That's what we do. It was very important to you,
yeah.
Bob Mamet, with this album, CD, and coming back here to touch the past, you—that's an important element of your work, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Because so much of jazz is about the history,
exactly,
of the music, and that was very important to me. Yes.
Yeah, I know there are hundreds of people out there going, "Oh my God, honey, we saw George Shearing at the London House in 19." The London House, for those of you who don't know, is right across the bridge and river from this very building.
That's right.
The corner of Wacker and Michigan, and it was quite a place. This is a little... Aubrey Mumpower likes Bob Mamet's playing so much that we're going to... Bob and I are going to talk over it until we have to take a commercial break. That is it. You can hear it, can't you? What do you think? Yeah, Aubrey, it's fine. We'll talk over it or under it. What do you think when you hear yourself play? Are you self-critical or...
Well, yeah.
Like right now, or do always. You just... Well, right now, when the music comes on, you kind of smile, and I think that's great.
I think it's a combination of smiling and cringing sometimes, but no. I think it's a normal thing, you know, for a jazz musician to be always, you know, always critical,
yeah.
Always like you...
Well, even when it's on CD, it's like, oh, nuts, I could have done that better. I could have done this better. I think it sounds just great, Bob Mamet. You will hear after the news. We're going to come back, talk for 2 seconds, and then we're going to play all of London House Blues. You think that would be cool, Bob?
Great, great.
Wonderful, wonderful. So please stay tuned. It's 9:30. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Now here with the news brought to you by Riverside Medical Center is my pal Roger Badish.
I saw a Ramsey Lewis Trio at the London House.
See?
Everybody goes
to the London House.
I love that place. It was very intimate. The front table's right up on the stage.
Yeah, great. No kidding. Yeah. No, that's great. Roger, but you're right. I mean, there must be hundreds of people out there going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very upset when they turned into a Burger King.
Yeah, but now they're turning it back into a hotel. And it's going to be. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Stay tuned this next half hour, Roger. Thanks. He's a Chicagoan, tried and true, and born and raised, and he came back here about 5 years ago to make his mark here, and he's done that. And Chicago has been good to you, don't you think? It creatively,
absolutely,
in all sorts of ways.
Absolutely, no question, no question.
So we get to, and I certainly want to, I want people to hear that the London House Blues is a fascinating combination of. Well, you've got Take the A Train, you've got Over the Rainbow.
Right.
You've got a number of, you have Solstice, which is your composition.
That's right.
a number of others. How did you conceptualize CD?
You know, there's a couple of originals. The title track is an original that is kind of a little bit of an homage to the great Oscar Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Solstice is a little bit of a departure and also an original composition. And most of the other tunes are, you know, jazz standards and classics from the era. You mentioned George Shearing, also Bill Evans,
Miles Davis, Harold Arlen, yeah,
exactly, and but it was also meant as a tribute to, of course, the famous London House, which was a venue for, among other things, jazz pianists.
I mean, sure,
and they would come, for instance, Oscar Peterson, who was arguably. He and Bill Evans were arguably, you know, considered the best pianists who ever lived, still to this day.
Yeah.
And Oscar Peterson would come to the London House and play for a month. He would set up shop, and he would play there for a month. And he could, you know, he played all over the world, and he could pick any venue and any city that he would want to make his stand. And he made a stand here in Chicago.
The other thing about it, when people say, "Oh, well, is jazz still popular?" Think of where the London House was. It's one of the most prominent corners. Michigan and Wacker is about as prominent a corner as you can get.
That's right.
Let's hear this whole thing. Aubrey, if we could hear, and we'll play the whole thing, Bob, because I think people really need, they've gotten a little sample of you now, but I think they need to hear the whole Bob Mamet as pianist and composer. Let's listen to the 4 minutes and 36 seconds of London House Blues.
Thank you.
What a nice piece. I feel like a cigarette and a and I feel like I need a cigarette and a glass of bourbon. That is such a great tune. That is
Thank you, Rick.
Bob Mammoth's composition, original composition, London House Blues, with Paul Wertico on drums, Larry Gray on bass, and Bob Mammoth on piano. Even you're smiling. It's a great tune. It's on his CD, London House Blues, of which we're going to talk a little more and about some big plans for London House
yes.
Blues after the after we take a break.
Yes.
But you can go to Bob Mammoth. That's Bob, MAMET.com. You can read about Bob. You can buy his CDs, of which there are
five.
There are five now.
Yes.
You've been listening a little too impromptu. Before he leaves, I will play a little. I'll play a little of either Take the A-Train or Over the Rainbow, because these are your arrangements.
Right.
You know, you take these classic songs and arrange them in ways that makes them fresh for
yeah,
you.
Right. We try to, exactly. We made Over the Rainbow a little bluesy, and Take the A-Train, we did it as a samba, you know, a Latin
yeah,
samba.
I really like what you did with Over the Rainbow, which is a song that's been beaten up by all manner of
right.
Of musicians over the years. So we'll hear that, and we'll hear some exciting plans about the future, not only of this particular CD and Bob Mammoth, but our mutual friend David Marienthal.
That's right.
Whose uncle and dad used to own the London House.
That's
and
exactly right.
Mr. Kelly's, and were the great entrepreneurs and jazz impresarios and comedy impresarios of their day.
They were.
And what's going to go on with that, but you have to wait. That is a little more of Bob Mammoth, who's going to be here for about 10 more minutes. You're going to get to hear a bit of, depending on how much we talk, his version of Over the Rainbow, which is also on the CD London House Blues. Go to bobmammoth.com. All right, Bob, there is a life. You're going to go up and play in Minneapolis. You play all over the place.
Yeah. We've been touring with this record a lot. I mean, we played in Paris, which was
they love this
kind of stuff there. They're really appreciative of, you know, and especially Chicago. They love Chicago.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
Like to them, it's this iconic. And yeah, no, we played all over New York, L.A., and yeah, we're going to Minneapolis in a couple weeks. But you know, you mentioned David Marienthal,
yes.
Mutual friend of ours. He's the son of the...
Son and nephew
exactly.
of the two owners of Mr. Kelly's and the London House.
That's right.
And those two clubs, I know not all of you are younger than I am out there. And, man, if those two names and those two places don't evoke some wonderful memories for you, you didn't live in Chicago in the 50s and 60s and 70s. What are you guys planning? What are you and David Marienthal got up your sleeve, Bob Mammoth?
David Marienthal, he approached me about doing a musical review based on the performers that played, you know, at the London House. We're talking Oscar Peterson, Bill Evans, George Shearing, Dave Brubeck, Herbie Hancock.
Ramsey Lewis.
Exactly. And there's stories about all of them. So I put together, I wrote a play based on their experiences, and the star of the play is Oscar Peterson. He's the narrator. And then after each segment, my trio plays their music, and then we go to the next segment.
David Marienthal, that's a great idea, and you couldn't have picked a better collaborator than Bob Mammoth. It's exciting, is it not? Because you have
Absolutely.
To do some research into what you weren't around. Well, you could your mom Judy, your wonderful, beautiful mom Judy, might have said, "Well, I remember seeing so and so here."
Yes, in fact, she and my dad had their first date at the London House,
oh,
which
come
many
on,
people
that's
did.
Too
yes,
cute.
It was
that's
a,
too cute.
You know, because they didn't have Twitter and
thank God, yeah, and they didn't have Match.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you had to go somewhere and have your first date, but so no, she remembers it well. I mean, a lot of people from that era, but also a lot of young people because, you know, it's we're try to keep it alive and try to keep it.
Sure,
know.
Because I mean, because it is a in a sense a relic of a lost. It's not there anymore. Okay, it's lost. It's gone. But people have heard stories about it forever, and there's a romance attached, an exciting kind of romance attached to both of those places, Kelly's and the London House, that evoke something that doesn't really exist now.
It's so true. It's so true. And so, yeah, it was a magical place. And then, like you say, the new hotel is, and we've talked to them about putting it up, possibly in their ballroom, doing this, you know, musical review.
Sure.
When they get, you know, they're just now, you know,
what stage are you workshopping it now?
Yeah, we're workshopping right now. And it's so far it's gone. You know, it's been a lot of fun. It's gone.
And David's excited. He must be very excited.
He's very excited about it. Yeah.
And you've talked to probably both have talked to a number of people who played there, Ramsey Lewis, for example.
We've been talking with Ramsey, and Ramsey just has so many great stories. That'll be something for next time
when I come see
you next time, some of the stories. But there's just so much history there. You know.
Well, Bob Mamet, I could not be happier that you moved back to Chicago, five years ago, and I think it's just been wonderfully creative for you, and in turn wonderful for people who consume jazz. Impromptu's a great CD. The London House Blues is a fantastic CD. You can go, you can learn so much more about them because that's part of the internet age too. Go to Bob Mamet, BobMamet.com. He's the half-brother of David Mamet, the brother of Tony Mamet, the brother of Julie Mamet, and the half-brother of Lynn Mamet, and the son of the one and only Judy Mamet.
That's
right. I'm going to let you go now, but before I do, I want people to listen to... Let's play Aubrey Mumpower if we can, because it's a song that most people butcher and don't know what they're doing with. Here's Bob Mamet's version with Larry Gray on bass and Paul Wertico on drums of Over the Rainbow. Thank you. All right, that means we got to come back now. You have to buy that CD. You have to go to bobmammoth.com and buy the CD. That was Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or Over the Rainbow, off the London House Blues CD. Bob, you sound great. You look great. Give your mom a big hug for me.
Thank you.
Keep me posted on this
absolutely
London House
stuff. We'll
come
back. And,
you know, David Marienthal is a wonderful, passionate guy about keeping alive what his father and uncle did in this town, which was a considerable and memorable thing.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to hear about it, Bob. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll take a commercial break, then we'll get some news, and then the new producer of this very show will come out from behind the wall, and you'll get to meet her, Elif Garris.